Hello friends, I'm taking you to the journey of the chapter number 2 of this book, Integrative Manager. It's titled as No Stomach for Second Best. No Stomach for Second Best. It means I go only for the best. So this chapter is going to be talking to us about what is integrative management, the steps to be taken to become an integrative manager, a framework. It's going to be also discussing the difference between conventional thinking people and people who think integrative. Now, as a reminder, in the chapter number 1, we introduced ourselves to the concept of integrative management through some case studies. We came across a number of people who had done integrative management and action during crisis, which sustained for a long period of time. People from industry. Then we also got in touch with what exactly is integrative thinking. We took an analogy of the opposable thumb and then the opposable mind in turn, and then we spoke about the importance of having two opposite thoughts and entertaining them in terms of taking decisions. We also reminded ourselves that most of the time, due to some practice, we have the habit of eliminating instead of including. So what the chapter number 1 was emphasizing was basically to say that integrative management is an inclusive process and not an exclusive process. It's not an either or process, it's an and process. Right? Now we have gone through that, and now we are entering into the second chapter, which is called as No Stomach for Second Best. Let's see what this chapter has to offer us, the learning objectives. After completing this session, you will be able to understand the process of integrative thinking, the steps, the process of decision making as a consequence of integrative thinking, prominent traits of integrative thinkers, what sort of qualities they have, what sort of qualities one needs to cultivate to become an integrative thinker, and the differentiation between conventional thinking and integrative thinking. The structure of the flow will be as follows. We have how integrative thinkers move beyond trade-offs, how they go beyond compromises into something more powerful. Next, we'll be covering the process of thinking and doing, very, very detailed. Embracing the mess, how chaos and complexities are two different concepts which we can identify through experience. Conventional thinking, or the art of settling for the second best, and the differences between integrative thinking and conventional thinking. That's how the flow is going to be taking place. So let's get on with the very first slide, which is covering how integrative thinkers move beyond the trade-offs. How integrative thinkers move beyond trade-offs. What sets integrative thinkers apart? How are they different from others? We spoke about it in the chapter number 1. How are they different? So there are, this session explores integrative thinking by breaking this thinking process down into its constituent parts. We spoke about the whole. We spoke about incidences, we spoke about certain actions which people have taken. Now we are getting in touch with what are those various steps which they took. Different people from different professions we discussed, but all the decisions were having the same pattern. So in this chapter we are going to be talking about the patterns, the steps in the patterns that take those actions, right? And so in all integrative thinking and action, there is a progressive movement towards bettering the existing results by taking feedback from the past results. We all know about the feedback mechanism. When we learn this subject called principles of management, we talk about a process called controlling. We set some target or a standard, we put the action, and then after the action, we get some results. When the results come, we compare it with the standards that we have set. And we usually find there's a variance, there's a gap between what we set as a standard and what we have achieved as a result. This gap could be plus or minus. And when the gap is plus or minus, we make the corrections accordingly in the next stage and set the whole process in the proper track. This is what we have learned in controlling chapter of principles of management. So there what we are doing is we are taking a feedback. We are taking a feedback from the experience. How not to make the error. This is similar to that But there's a major difference. The major difference. The difference is that in this case, we are not sticking on to that set thinking of planning which we did in planning. We are going to be planning in a different way. When you do a planning and you set certain parameters, you have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. Alternate plans as we call it. And then what we do is, when we are in the process of progressing, if plan A is not working, then we put plan B into action. Let's assume we are having only three plans, plan A, plan B, plan C. Now we will restrict ourselves, I am using the word restrict. We will restrict ourselves to use plan A, which if it fails, we go for plan B, which again if it fails, we may go for plan C. After that, we seem to have dried up. Now in integrative thinking, we are doing almost the same process like the conventional planning with a difference. We don't say we have got plan A, plan B and plan C alone. We don't say that we have plan A, plan B, plan C alone. We keep ourselves open to maybe plan D, plan E, plan F and so on and so forth. This is done by a certain step-by-step process. It's not the domain of only certain people who succeeded in the past. You and I can do it. So my appeal to all of you is, when you're setting to become an integrative thinker, certain steps you need to follow. And while you're following the steps, learn to be more expansive. Don't be content with whatever information you have. Don't be too sure that the options you're taking, the choices you're making, A, B, C, are the best choices, the only choices. There could be D, there could be E, there could be F, and so on. So keeping your options open, even beyond the ordinary planning, is what is the difference between conventional planning and integrative thinking and planning. Right? Mm-hmm. So in all integrative thinking and action, there is a progressive movement towards bettering the existing results by taking feedback from past results. We do the same thing like in planning, but here it's a different approach. An integrative thinker looks at chaos as complexity, a very important paradigm which I'm going to be talking about right now. Chaos and complexity, two words. Let's see what they are, how different they are, right? So now here we are. An integrative thinker looks at chaos as complexity. Now what's chaos? Let me read out from the slide. A state in which one does not perceive any order and rules or correlation among the various parts of the situation. A feeling of helplessness and discomfort overtakes completely. Imagine you've gone to your study room and you've had your pet, your dog. The dog has gone and disrupted everything. And everything is in a big mess. Your laptop is in some corner. Your mobile is untraceable. The papers are all strewn all around. And everything is in a big mess out there. Mess. Now you walk in. Now there are one of the two reactions that can happen to a person who walks in. One of the two reactions or responses. X may come and say that, oh my God. And may scream and shout and say, what's happening? This person is perceiving the situation as a chaos. It is a visible mess, no doubt about it. It is a visible mess. Visibly, it looks like a mess. Now this person will look at it as a chaos. He can't make out what the hell is happening. He cannot perceive any order and rules and correlation among the various strewn around items. Why is it so? Because this person has kept everything in the proper place. Since he has kept everything in the proper place, he is used to that type of a thinking and working. So when things are disrupted for him, he sees it as chaos. And the worst part of it is the second point which is written here. The feeling of helplessness and discomfort overtakes him completely. He may get angry. He may get upset. He will feel totally hopeless and he'll sit down with his hands on his head. This could happen to a person. I think most of us go through this when we see a chaos like that. And then what do? We take quite a bit of a time to come back to normal. And then we'll start putting the pieces together. So this is a situation of chaos. Now comes the other person. I said X and Y, right? And Y comes in. And Y looks at the whole mess. And he is taking it very cool. Because within the mess, he sees clarity. There are quite a few people in life. For them, external mess is not a mess. External mess is not a mess. For them, here, they have a clarity. So they are able to see clarity in a chaotic situation. Such people make good leaders. I am not suggesting, I am not encouraging that we have a mess outside. No. I am suggesting a type of an attitude, a type of mental makeup that I need to cultivate even in a mess. In organizations, we come across managers who run their functions in a very systematic manner. When the system goes disrupted due to some reason, these people feel helpless, panicky, and they take decisions which are disastrous. In the same organization, we'll find some people who look at a disruption or a change in a systematic way of operating as an opportunity. They don't get upset, they don't get panicky, they don't get disturbed. Such people are the ones who stay cool, and like we say, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. They're tough. By tough, I mean they've got a clarity out here. And that clarity through which they'll reset everything and work their way through success. Right? Now, what is complexity? These are the people who are embracing complexity. These are the people who look at a chaos as a complexity. What's a complexity? Let's understand. State in which the same situation which I have spoken about alongside makes sense. It makes sense to me. In spite of the whole thing being in a mess. Even if it is a remote sense, some sense will be there. I know how to set them aright. I am not blown away by my rigid thinking. Rigid thinking meaning what? So many years I have spent into learning housekeeping. So many years I have spent into discipline of keeping my table clean. And suddenly somebody comes and disrupts it. Do I get panicky? Yes, ordinary people do get panicky. Nothing wrong about it. But an extraordinary thinker, an integrative thinker will look at it, fine, it's a mess, let's see what we can do about it. He may even change the whole structure of his arrangement. He may do something different. So every incident is considered as an opportunity. Although the situation appears out of order and with no rules, the perceiver sees a connection among the parts of the situation. That's the beauty about this guy. So I just explained to you two scenarios in which X comes, he gets panicky, he sees chaos. Y comes, he sees the same mess, but he's seeing complexity. Whenever you cultivate the habit of seeing complexity in a mess, you are in the path of making connections between the various components of the mess. And when you do this, you find yourself being able to bring about linkages. Leadership is all about bringing linkages. Leaders work in a mess. Good leaders work in a mess. What appears to be messy outside, these guys can see some clarity. They go by what is called as a systems approach. They can see that one system which looks messy is linked with another system which looks messy. They can see the connection very well. Because they have a clarity here in the thought. For them, the clarity on the table, the clarity on the shop floor is not so important as the clarity here. So these two paradigms is one needs to understand to know how an integrative thinker thinks and acts. Right? So let's take it further as an illustration. Let me take a very good illustration which all of us are aware of. We all go to the car repair shop, right? Now how does it look? Does it look messy or not? It does. So let me read through the slide. A car repair shop is usually messy to look at for the layman. It is a chaos for the normal viewer, giving him an impression that how would this shop set right my expensive car? You're driving an expensive car into the garage. and there's been some emergency repair to be done, and you go there, there's the only repair shop available on the highway. And when you go there, the first thing that apprehension comes to you is you're used to being very systematic. So when you go there, it's quite normal for you to think, hey, will this guy be able to repair my car? You know why? Because you see the mess around. It's like going to a restaurant which looks very messy, and you may wonder, will these guys give tasty food? So what happens? You go there, and then this guy, he may not send his expensive car for repair to this messy shop. You may not really be inclined to do a repair there, because it doesn't satisfy you, the conditions. However, we have seen in many cases how the car mechanic himself is so composed and is able to locate his tools from this mess and perform a perfect job. Haven't we gone through this? The whole place looks like a battleground. Lots of tools here and there, they are strewn. Maybe some system you can see here and there, but you can't make a sense of it. It's dirty. It's dirty to my eyes. There's something to be done on your car. He has to go below the car belly and do something, or he may have to do something on the bonnet, open the bonnet and do something. And this guy nonchalantly, very coolly, he goes, he picks up the tool from a mess which is there, the right tool, he brings it here, and then he fixes your car. This is integrative thinking. He sees complexity in the chaos. He knows what is kept where. And his brain is functioning so well that whenever a certain thing has to be done, he knows which tool is kept there, he can bring it out. That clarity he has in his thinking. This clarity, friends, it comes when you are open to newer and newer situations. When you are open to the fact that in every new situation, you can have a new approach of doing things. While conventional thinking is important, we all need to cultivate, getting stuck to conventional thinking and excluding anything else that is non-conventional is not integrative thinking. While conventional thinking is important, one cannot be rigid with conventional thinking. One should be open to possibilities. Look at the way businesses are going on today. Are they not getting chaotic day by day? Chaotic to the non-discerning eye. But in this chaos also, there are people who are handling the complexity so well. Now, those people are the ones who see the connections. So this car mechanic we are talking about, what does he do? He actually goes and he does a perfect job. And for the mechanic, his repair shop is complexity, not a chaos. For you, it's a chaos. He's able to see the connection among all that is lying there and is meaningful to him, for him. His mind is clear, although his surroundings seem cluttered. The car mechanic is an integrative thinker and doer, since he sees the surroundings as a complexity and not as a chaos. This is true with most situations which appear chaotic, but in which people perform excellently well. These people are naturally integrative thinkers. Let me remind you again, I'm not giving you a wrong signal saying that keep your place chaotic. No. I'm not telling you keep your table messy. No. But what I am certainly telling you is, when you see mess around, when you see chaos around in your mind, pause. It may be chaotic to your thinking, but it may really not be chaotic to the person who's handling it. Managers are known, parents are known to push their children into keeping the table clean. A good habit, no doubt. The child becomes a victim of keeping the table clean, so that when there's a mess, the child gets completely disrupted. By all means, let's have cleanliness on the table. Let's have an order on the table. Let's follow the 5 S of housekeeping. Yes. But when that does not take place, let us not get blown away. And in most of the situations in real life, in working life, in the social life, we do come across situations which are actually messy. And when situations are messy, we get blown away by looking at them as chaos. Could we look at them as complexity? Make the connections. When you make the connections, everything appears beautiful, like a pattern. It takes certain training, a certain type of exposure, a certain type of mindset, a willingness to go into it. Once you do it, you'll find things are happening. Right? So that's about the mechanic. And now here we come across another example which people in Mumbai must be knowing about, the slum called Dharavi. When you're driving past Dharavi, what's it that you first look at? You look at the ugly place. It's very messy. It's very stinking, right? And then there's a lot of filth and chaos which we perceive. But this is one place. There's a lot of sustained businesses happening. There's a lot of businesses happening. And many, many small units out there are supplying components to a lot of engineering industry. There are all different types of industry ancillaries which are located in this place. Again, let me remind you, I am not encouraging, I am not saying that these slums are doing a good job and we must allow slums to happen, allow chaos to happen. No, I am not suggesting that at all. I am only telling all of us that although this looks like a chaotic slum, there are some good things happening there in terms of integrative thinking and action. See, most of them have accepted the fact that we are here. And when they accept the fact, you know what human beings do? They adapt. And they make the best of all the resources available. And that's what those guys do. And they live by the day. They say, fine, today we have got these resources, tomorrow something else will come. And then, you know, they try to fix their entire thing through that. And then when they do that, you'll find that some of them, I'm not saying some of them, are able to fine-tune and get exactly what the customer wants. How do I know it? I have visited this place during my engineering days when I used to work for a company in the purchase department and seen some of them work. Remarkably good. And I used to tell them, look, why are you people so filthy? Why do you keep the place messy? They never gave me a satisfactory answer then. But today when I look at it, I'm not only talking about Dharavi slums. There are other places in other parts of the country, as far as in, and also in Mumbai. Small scale industry, for example. You'll find they are very messy, but those guys know exactly what they're doing. Integration. Right? So one of the take homes from the discussion so far is, when you come across somebody in your organization who's delivering good results, do not reprimand him or her because the housekeeping is not clear. Things are not okay. They are important. But let that not become such a major issue that the person's creativity is gone. We have seen the film Tare Zameen, Hindi movie. We saw the youngster who is, everybody expects him to be a conventional thinker. But he's a talented kid. Now he goes to the school and he gets low grades because of his disability. Now very few people understand the creative side of this boy, because everybody is looking at him from the viewpoint of he should be this. They are not accepting the fact that he is this. Now integrative thinkers accept situations the way they are. And then from there on they proceed. Now this is easily said than done, accepting situation. We use this term very often, you know, let us agree to disagree. It's a very inane term many people use. They neither agree nor do they disagree and they land up doing something else. Similarly, when I say that I want to accept a situation, it requires a mind training. Everything in the situation I see as a connection. It looks messy for others. But I see a connection, then I take myself further on. I move on. Right? So this is the second example illustration. And now we go to the next one. We talk about a conventional thinker gets blown away by chaos because chaos is in his either or thinking. We weren't going to win if it was an or. Quote unquote from A.J. Lafley of Procter & Gamble, CEO, ex-CEO. Everybody can do an or, he said. That is the way the world works. You trade things off, that is, you make compromises, but you are not going to be the best in the industry. You are not going to win if you are in the trade-off game. Any compromise has got a fall-off. That's what A.J. Lafley suggested. He believed in it and hence he was successful in bringing about the turnaround of Procter & Gamble. Right? Two questions crop up. How do integrative thinkers actually think? How do they actually think? Second question, how do they consider the options before them in the way that leads forward to the new possibilities. How do they think? And the various options available in front of them, how do they act upon them? These are the two questions that keep cropping up. So let's try and discuss and understand what answers are there for these two questions. To answer those questions, let us start from cognitive steps we take in making a decision. What is cognition? Cognition is a process in which the brain captures the features from the surroundings or from any stimulus received, and after capturing it, it makes its own meaningfulness of those features. Simply stated, there's a world around me and there are a number of things around. Take the room where I'm taking the video lecture. There is a projector on the top out there. My colleague is sitting behind the camera assisting me. There are some tables and chairs out here. Now all these are different elements in the room. Now these elements in the room goes into my brain as a mental map, and I make a meaningfulness of these elements together. I create a correlation between all the elements. That is cognition. My colleague who's behind the camera is also seeing all the elements. He would be making a different meaningfulness, a different mental map compared to me. So the reality remaining the same, each one of us have got different mental maps of the same reality. And since we have different mental maps, it's interesting. It's also very disturbing sometimes. Now here we are talking about how, since everybody's mental map is different, it's very interesting, it's beautiful, it makes progress happen in a much more better way. Better ideas, better way of cognition, number of cognitions coming together, brainstorming, and then finally we come out with the best for the company. Right? So each one makes his own meaningfulness. This is most important. Everybody's meaningfulness is different. In the stock market, for example, prices go up. The meaningfulness of one person is time to sell. Somebody else looks at a rising market as a time to buy. There are people who do that. A third person will have a meaningfulness saying they stay away from the market altogether. So the same phenomenon is seen differently by different people because of their own meaningfulness they attach. That's cognition. So to answer these two questions, we need to understand how cognition takes place. How do people think and act? What sort of steps they take? What are the patterns of thinking they are into? Right? Each of us would create different mental maps of meaningfulness for the same reality. Thus, we have several, or rather infinite, interpretations of the same reality. Right? Whether we are aware or not, we are always engaged in cognition for taking decisions. Every decision you're taking from morning till evening is having its own cognition. It makes a meaningfulness for you to take a certain decision. If it doesn't make a meaningfulness, you don't take a decision, you dither around. So everything is based on the connections you make and the meaningfulness that captures into your brain. Right? The steps. Now here we talk about the four steps, which is a framework of the integrative thinking. If there is something like a theory which everybody has to learn, it's these four steps to begin with. So far we have discussed about success stories, integrative thinking. We spoke about a few things about making you understand that this is what happens. If you and I have to get into integrative thinking, then we need to have some framework, some procedure, some steps. So these are the steps. The four steps are salience, a technical word, causality, architecture, and resolution. Now, throughout this chapter and in the following chapters, we'll be talking about these four steps. So this becomes your starting point of the theory. Salience, causality, architecture, and resolution. Now, all cognitive steps are following these four stages. All cognitive steps are following these four stages. We have broken it up. The entire thinking process around me is having a salience, which is followed by causality, which is followed by the architecture, and then that is followed by the resolution. Right? So we'll understand what are these four processes. We take a small example. Imagine you're planning your next summer holiday. After much discussion with your family, you shortlist, let's say, three different options, three choices. We tour Kerala by bicycle. We go exploring ancient temples of Rajasthan. Or we may do rock climbing in Maharashtra. These are the three choices, three options in front of you. You sit with the family members and you do brainstorming. Your youngster in your home will say, let's do rock climbing. Maybe your mom and your elders will say, let's go for the ancient temples of Rajasthan. And maybe some adventurous people, you included, might say, let's go to Kerala by bicycle. Do a cross country sort of. These are the three choices with you.